Hello, you're listening to Michael's Office, a podcast which shows my unfiltered, unscripted, and genuine thoughts about things going on in the entertainment world today. This week I brought on a guest. Well, this was recorded like 2 months ago, or nearly 2 months ago on the dot. and I didn't get to do anything because I was away from my house. I recorded it on my home computer, and then I kept forgetting to ask my dad or my mom to add it to Anchor. I kept forgetting to ask them to. And I didn't have access to it because I had COVID. I didn't have COVID for those 2 months. I had COVID now, for the past week. And I finally got the chance to do it. I finally had a chance to edit it and stuff like that. So this week we talk about a bunch of things. I introduce him like I usually do. I ask him some questions, and he goes into a review about one of his favorite albums. And it was very interesting to hear him talk about it, and then I got to listen to it after the episode, so you don't get to hear my opinions about it. But yeah, I'm really hoping you guys enjoy this episode. It was a lot of fun making it. The person I talked to is a great joy to talk to, and I'm so glad I finally got to talk to him after a long time. All right, enjoy. Hello, and welcome back to an episode of Michael's Office. This time I have a guest. Unexpectedly, he just asked, and I'm like, okay, let's do it. So then I had to impromptu something because we had this whole plan. It did not work out. So I had to impromptu. But this time I actually have a bunch of topics to talk about so I don't have to like stretch things thin, you know? Thankfully. Very, very thankfully. So, Ben, introduce yourself. Who are you?
Well, I'm the guy who's gonna call you out on the lies you've just spewn to your
really,
listeners.
Really, please expound upon it. Dispute my lies.
I recall just talking to you about music after one of your podcasts, right? And you inviting me on. I recall. And then I recall there also being a plan to listen to music today, to talk about an album that somebody did not listen to because they forgot. Who would that someone be, Michael?
It's me. Listen here, Bob. Okay. I was going to listen to it, but I was like, I got focused and I got caught up with other things, even though those things aren't important. I just completely forgot. It's my bad. I apologize, Ben. But we're still going to talk about it, but it's more going to be an interview about why Ben really likes this album, and that's going to be at the end of the podcast, so stick around for that. So Ben, please introduce yourself without, you know, ragging on me, please.
I will try my best, but no promises. So, my name's Ben Stone.
Ben Stone.
Thank you. Thank you, class. I really appreciate you. I'm a guy who does things occasionally once or twice. Mm-hmm. I am a business major who runs fighting game tournaments on the side.
You make it sound like it's an illegal activity.
I suppose it could be illegal.
How? Do you gamble? Then that would make it illegal if you put there's gambling involved.
I would say not
for
on the
that,
books.
For your legal safety.
Not on the books, there's gambling. I can assure you of that.
I mean, you could also say for legally reasons, too, you cannot confirm or deny.
I'm just going to simply say we do gamble in Minecraft.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what
it is. Yeah, if you're gambling in Minecraft, that's fine. I think that's legal.
That's legal.
So continue with your story.
Well, I'm working towards getting a bachelor's in business administration. I am a really big music guy. I listen to a lot of alt, punk, post-hardcore, hardcore, grunge, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Weezer is the reason we have MCR today. That's the truth.
Uh-huh.
I could explain it, but it's not worth going into the effort.
Right.
Yeah. And, yeah.
cool.
I'm like the Michael of music, and Michael's the Michael of movies.
Okay. I was like, where's Ben going with this? And I'm like, oh, I see how it is. So generally I met you my junior or senior year? I believe it was my junior year, right?
It was senior. Beginning of senior year.
So you transferred. Where did you transfer from? How did you get to Hillsborough, which is my high school? How did you get there? How did you meet me, to make it sound as selfish as possible?
Well, so it was a little bit of traveling. I had a walk to a car, and then a car had to be driven, and then that car, you know, drove on a couple interstates, maybe a couple highways. Yeah. Yeah. It went maybe a couple turns or two.
Yeah.
And then I arrived at Hillsborough.
Oh.
And then I got out of my car, and then I walked into a school building.
Really?
And then I think I met you in a class that was on the second floor. So I guess I climbed a couple stairs there.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Wow. Very intricate. Pardon me. I sneezed. Very intricate story. Very exaggerated. No, seriously, how did you get there? Where did you transfer from?
Okay, so I actually transferred from Belleville East, over in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there freshman through junior year. And then after that, the parentals wanted to move, and I was all for it, because I figured if we're going to move, it's better that we move when I'm in high school, so that I can, you know, form relationships before it becomes a lot harder to form relationships. And while it looks on the outside like it really sucks, man, you're going into a new place, a senior year, you don't have all your friend groups. And that is true. It does suck. It's also a way of like expanding your network.
Right. Oh, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah. It's effectively like going to a job fair, except for people who are very different, because Hillsborough is not a diverse place, and where I was diverse.
Oh, yeah, no. There was like...
Yeah, there's also nothing in Hillsborough.
No, there's nothing. There's like a Subway or McDonald's. McDonald's and Taco Bell right next to each other.
Yeah.
There's a Happy China, which is like your average Chinese place. That's it.
Yeah, no. That's kind of it. I just kind of enrolled, and we just met by happenstance in a math class, my first semester there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I saw him again after that math class, at a after school activity where, I saw him, and I was like, yo, you have this board game? I play this board game. Let's play this board game. Or it was a card game, actually.
Yeah.
And we ended up playing that card game. And then that led to D&D antics later down the road.
Yeah.
And then everything died.
Because we graduated.
True.
I mean, also in that D&D campaign, you like destroyed the world, basically.
You know what sucks? And I genuinely mean this. I genuinely don't recall anything about the campaign.
Really? I recall a little bit.
I have the logs if I wanted to go back and look.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember anything about it other than that Lawrence was a phenomenal DM.
Yeah. They're great. You made a blood pact with the Chaos God. Accidentally too. Because you're like, let's see where this goes.
Wait. Was my character named Noct?
Yes.
Oh my god. Oh my god, it's all coming back now.
Yeah, now you remember.
Wow. Oh my god, that was that one.
Yeah.
That sure is a fever dream, huh? Yeah, I apologize. I will never do something like that again.
Well, yeah, you learned. But yeah. It's just like you stole everything. And didn't you, like, try to kill everybody, too?
I don't recall trying to kill everybody.
I know you tried to steal everything.
Listen. The play is, next time I do D&D, which is hopefully soon, I'm going to play a merchant who's a swindler, who tries to steal everything.
Oh, that's fun.
That would be more unique than just a thief.
Yeah, I know. That's like a con man.
Yeah, I'm a con man who's going to talk you into giving me your stuff. I love rather that. Than, see, I mean, that's much more fun, too, since then.
Yeah. You know. But speaking of meeting me at Nerd Society, what was your experience with Nerd Society? What did you think of it as a whole, and generally speaking?
I'm going to be honest. I thought Nerd Society was cringe.
Me, yeah. Looking back, yes.
I genuinely did not want to be there most of the time. The sole reason I went was because it was like my only time outside of classes to meet new people, since at that time I was only working a really crappy fast food job up at McDonald's.
Yeah.
So I didn't have much free time, and it was just I wanted to meet new people. But I chose, I think, the worst place to meet new people, because unfortunately, even though they're somewhat like-minded people, I've come to realize that I'm just more casual than a lot of the people there.
Yeah, no. I mean, there are
like I didn't realize on the nerd spectrum I was closer to normal functioning human being
with like hobbies and like you're kind of not obsessed but really not fanatical. You're a fan of things, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, like there's some cool people that were at Nerd Society.
Yeah, no, like
Hunter.
One person that comes to mind is Drayton.
Drayton, I love Drayton.
Love that guy.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite people that I met, and I haven't talked to him in years, which sucks.
Yeah, Chris, I don't know if Chris was there, but I'm pretty sure Chris was only there because of Rocky, and then he wasn't there anymore because Rocky wasn't there.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And then Lawrence goes by a different name now, so they're a completely different person now.
Wow.
So. They were there because of D&D, and then that's it. That's the only time they would appear.
I remember I only got into D&D because we played Smash Up once, and then you were talking about doing it with Lawrence, and then I was like, yo, can I get in?
Well, what Lawrence created was really interesting. I really liked that. It was homebrew, and it was interesting, and we got to create our own classes. But, like, Hunter... there are some other people I liked, but generally, yeah, I could understand why it was cringe.
I will say, Nerd Society is the reason I understand how to talk to people of such a nerd culture.
Mm.
It is the sole reason that when I run tournaments or when I run events up at my college, I'm able to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Because I understand the basics, because I'm a very forward guy. I like to talk, walk up and, you know, be, you know, like, hey, what's up? You know, a lot of people of nerd culture are very, they're very
socially awkward.
Isolated.
Yes.
They're awkward. And going up and being very forward can really make being awkward worse for them.
Yeah.
So it's about leveling it out.
They also,
and I'm glad.
Like when you get around those certain people, we act like they're a completely different race of people. But like when you get around that group, you kind of realize that the tics that they have, like the certain tics that they do and the behavior that, like, I see these videos on the internet where it's like making fun of them. Like, yep, I know a bunch of people like that. And it's just looking back, there are fun things I have about Nerd Society, but there is also a lot of other things where I'm like,
yeah, like, it. Honestly, going forward, I'm just trying to Pavlov awkward people into not being awkward.
Hey, that's good. That's good. Now, speaking of nerdiness, what is your fascination with Super Smash, with the fighting tournaments, and why did you become... So, like, why this one type of fighting game? Why Smash? Why Smash?
This is a funny story, actually.
Uh-huh.
There is, I know the exact reason I started playing Smash.
Uh-huh. Was
it
a certain
character? Wasn't because I bought the game and wanted to play it. No. It wasn't because of anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was because the friends that I have who live in St. Louis, when Smash Ultimate dropped, that's the only game they would play. Every game else we used to play, they would not play it. For like a good year plus, that's all they would play.
Yeah.
And I came to a head where it's either I start playing and learning the game or I don't play with my friends. And that's what happened. Aww. And for the first 6 to 8 months of me playing the game, I did not enjoy it whatsoever. But it took a while, but I had found a character that I liked. And when I found a character that I liked, it started to become a little more fun. And I actually started improving and I got a little bit better and I started actually winning. Since when you only take losses, it just makes it a worse experience, which is what was happening. Because I was just spamming down B with Dr. Mario. Yeah, it was bad.
Why did you choose that character? Was it just like you were choosing random characters? Did you press random and you stumbled upon Dr. Mario? Or was it just like...
No, I didn't play Dr. Mario. I was just saying, at the beginning, that's all I was doing. And I heard Dr. Mario was a good character, so that's why I did it. That was the whole idea. By the way, he's not a good character. He's one of the worst in the game, and I was misled. So that was fun. But
is he bad? Is he one of the worst in the game because he's so toxic, or is he just bad, generally bad?
He's genuinely bad recovery. It just doesn't make it worth it for him. He's just worse Mario without the ladder combos.
Okay.
He just has less potential combo game. And while he can be nasty, he's just not nearly as good as
Mario.
85% of the roster.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Gotcha. But yeah, the reason I got into Smash was because friends were playing it and I decided to join them. And from there I got passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID hit.
Oof.
COVID hit, have big oof. COVID was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Because you got better at it?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not why COVID was the best thing that happened to me. But COVID happened and it shut down every single tournament in the entire St. Louis area, all the way out to where we are. There were no tournaments running. And then some person decided to run a tournament outside of the St. Louis Science Center. And what ended up happening was they didn't require masks. This is 2020, mid-COVID.
Oh, boy. So it's like
no masks, no vaccinations, nothing like that. And
so
everybody who attended that tournament or ran it got banned from the scene, just banned from the actual tournaments. So I decided, all right, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this right. You know, require masks, this and that, social distancing. I literally would go into a room and tape out the areas in which you could stand. Social distance.
Wow.
I was very serious about it. And
good.
I went through the right channels up at my college. And I talked to the right people, and I was able to run a tournament. I also had to go through the STL Smash community, which we are slightly outside of their range. I went through them, and I talked with the people who are mainly in charge, and I got them to change their rules on some of the things because they were initially going to ban anyone who ran or attended a tournament without vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely made headway to get things up and running again. So I got the first tournament outside of STL running back up.
Wow.
And it was very strong until around this summer when we stopped doing them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because of life? Is that what happened?
No, actually. That's literally it.
You cut out for a second. What was that? That's literally it?
A lot of renovations at the college. And booking rooms is very difficult. I could get slots, but it's hard to get a slot on a good day.
Yeah. Totally. So who do you main now? And why?
Okay.
I don't play much Smash, so I can't say anything about you.
Okay. I'm in Jigglypuff.
Okay. Why?
Okay. Jigglypuff was the character. Was the character that brought me joy with Smash. The reason why I made Jigglypuff is because I couldn't play any character that was that had anything technical going on.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not good. My reaction time's bad. And Jigglypuff is one of the unique characters where my reaction time doesn't have to be the best.
Yeah.
And I can play decently well. And if somebody's caught off guard, I can just chain them off stage and let them drop.
Do you do anything
mind you, I'm much better than where I was, where I can actually do combos and rest setup, stuff like that. But I play Jigglypuff because it's fun. And I, for a while there, I was really inspired by watching some guy on Twitch called Bass Mage, which is the best Jigglypuff in the world.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you like hitting Jigglypuff's like song thing? Is that fun to hit, or is that very hard to hit?
Okay, you just said song. It's called Sing, first off. And Sing. And Rest is the move that instantly kills at a high enough percentage.
Yeah.
Depends on each character. And placement, because it kills them off the top. But yes, it is very, very fun to land. It's the best feeling when you style on somebody. Like, one of my favorite memories is literally me at a setup being very toxic. It was the final stock of a game where I was trashing somebody in a tournament set.
Yeah.
And this somebody was a friend who was talking trash before the set. And we just ended up against each other. And I proceeded to take his first two stocks.
He got
me up to 120 on my last stock as Jigglypuff, which is kind of hard because Jigglypuff dies super easy. And then I proceeded to zero to death him with a single hit combo that was not true at all. He easily could have gotten out of it had he like done the right DI. And let me explain this. I jumped into him. I drilled, which is the down air, which spits him out forward or backward, depending on where you're at. I did it in the right manner, so that it would spit him out backward. And then I kind of moved my character to catch him on another drill. And then I proceeded to go to ledge. I let him move around stage. And then I jumped up. I pounded, which sends him up into an angle where you can light fair. You can light fair into a falling up air, which this is only if they fall down, if they decide to fall down. I did a falling up air and then into a rest, and it proceeded to kill and end it. And then I proceeded to instantly on the like windscreen save the clip on his Switch to fuck with him.
Oh no, wow, and you're horrible.
And then I said, I'm gonna save this for later so that I can review. And yeah, that was fun.
Before we move on to the next topic, it was impromptu. What are the, like, when you're facing somebody in Smash, what are, like, three mains you respect? Like, somebody, like, chooses that, like, oh, I respect you. Or is it, like, if you choose any main you have, you're just toxic?
No, I don't believe any main is toxic. I believe there are characters that are inherently better than many other characters. And if you choose those characters, you are playing to win rather than playing for fun. I think that can be true.
Yeah.
But I also think there are cases where people just really have fun with those really good characters.
Yeah.
So it's hard to place where that's at. Yeah. I wouldn't say because you play a character, you're toxic, but I will say every character has a toxic trait. So it's kind of a very bland, basic mindset to say, oh, you play Rob, you're toxic. No, it's,
I mean, the most toxic part of Rob is spamming his laser and then spamming his forward B where he does the spin, the arm spin. That's toxic, but that's what I do.
that's you. Yeah, that's not super toxic.
Oh, really? No. Oh,
that's not very toxic.
Oh,
you should see what other stuff Rob can do.
I mean, he can do other things. I'm not.
Oh, dude, his gyro is what makes him toxic.
Oh, I need to know how to use that. I haven't, but yeah. But what are some mains you'd see like? Oh, I respect you, or something along those lines.
I absolutely respect any person who plays Captain Falcon. I absolutely respect any person who plays Zero Suit Samus. And I very much respect any person who plays Wii Fit Trainer.
Oh, Wii Fit Trainer seems like
I have to say, you can play Wii Fit Trainer in the worst way possible by camping ledge and using soccer ball. You can do that. But if they don't, They're good. I respect villagers. I respect so many characters. There are just a few that I personally have biased against.
What are some ones that you think you're just absolutely toxic, and what are the ones you have bias against?
There are three characters in the game that I absolutely don't like to fight, specifically because if I get into a match with them, I know what they're going to do. I know what their game plan is, and there's nothing I can do about it because I'm just not good enough and I don't care to learn, learn the matchup properly. But Pikachus are the worst.
Yeah.
Pikachus just, they have so much privilege in every way. And then their moveset has priority over a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not fun.
Okay.
It just isn't. Pyramithra is another one that's just not fun because, but that one takes skill. So there's a little bit more respect, but.
Pyramithra, let me check what that one is. Is that the wrestler one?
No. No. That is not.
Oh, I don't know.
Pyramithra is from Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Gotcha. And then who is the other one? Wait, why is that one like toxic? Or like you dislike that one?
Simply because if they play Mithra, they can just combo you. Mithra is basically just Sheik, which has an insane frame data. Great frame data. And then they have a sword, and swords just are disjoints that are just so much better than almost everything in the game. And then you can swap to Pyra in a when you have them off stage, and then if you catch them, they just die because Pyra's basically, it's basically switching between Sheik and Bowser. That's what you're doing.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah, it's not very fun.
And then what's the third?
This one is not necessarily a good character, but I have never seen anybody not play this character in a very scummy way. And that's what sucks. And it's anytime I see anybody play Kirby, it's never in a sincere way. They just sit at ledge. And then they eat you and then walk off stage and then just mash jump so that they can footstool you. Mm-hmm. I've seen this so many times at my tournaments. I've seen multiple different Kirbys do this, and I don't get why it's the first instinct. Like, Kirby has a genuinely good moveset to do things. He's not a great character, but he can do things other than just cheese. But it's what people like to do, apparently.
Okay, so are those the most toxic, or there are more toxic characters for you?
There are more toxic characters, but I'm not going to get into that.
You're not going to get into that? Okay, just name like two or three.
Okay, easy. Kazuya, Min Min, and Terry,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the Smash Bros. Clones? So, like, the main ones. Starting with the first, I think this is like the first major one. PlayStation Brawl, I think that was what it's called, right? PlayStation Brawl? Am I wrong?
I don't know. I literally don't know. I've never heard of PlayStation Brawl in my life.
Brawl Stars, PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's basically Smash. It's PlayStation Smash, but with PlayStation exclusive characters, except for maybe Big Daddy, who is a BioShock. That's it. Dang it! I can't get your opinion on that. Then never mind.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What about? Did you play Nickelodeon All Stars?
I did not. I haven't played that once. I saw the reveal trailer for it and said, and then I said jokingly. Nickelodeon owns Garfield. If they had Garfield, I'll play the game. Then they added Garfield. And then I said, all right, well, the joke actually landed. I'm not playing this game.
Have you played Multiverses?
No.
Well, this goes right out the window. I was going to have a thoughtful discussion about the clones and like how they compare.
I simply only play Smash, and I don't even play Smash often anymore. So,
well, okay.
I've never played Brawlhalla. I've never played any other platform fighter. Actually, I have played a single match of Rivals of Aether.
Oh. Was it okay? Or was it bad?
I don't know. It was like...
Different?
2019, I want to say.
Oh.
And I don't necessarily remember.
Oh. Okay, well then... That's the end of our.
Like I played. I think a bird character. I don't remember.
Okay. Exactly. Another nerdy thing. What do you think about the direction of the MCU and where it's going?
This is funny that you mentioned that, because I have a hot take.
Yeah.
From a person who isn't critical of movies.
Yes.
I think the MCU is in a great position right now.
Really?
I think everybody is wrong on their opinion.
Do you think it's like? Do you think we should be patient?
I think that phase 4 is just phase 1 again. I think it is setting up a new arc, and people want it to be have the highs of phase 3.
Right.
And it's not going to happen. Spider-Man No Way Home was phenomenal conclusion, but now Spider-Man has gone from a world hero to a street level hero, like he normally is portrayed. So that makes sense. Doctor Strange was a fun movie, but it wasn't a great movie.
No.
In my opinion.
I agree.
I think that what the problem is people just want more of phase 3.
Yes.
And they can't get that because without the buildup, without the exposition, you can't have the highest highs. If you go back to Marvel phase 1, which I have actually recently, so I can say this. Marvel phase 1 movies aren't that great. Captain America is great, I will say. The original Thor is not too good. It's okay. The original Hulk movie is not that good. I guess there is no second one. No, there is no second one. But
the closest we get is like Age Ragnarok. Of Ultron. Ragnarok or Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Avengers.
I feel like the reason why phase one was so impactful was because it was the start and we had never seen it before. But because we've seen it before, phase four just feels lackluster to a lot of people. And for me, I'm okay with sitting through a phase of movies that are average or giving characters that are not as well known.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, I've never read the comics. I don't know any of the characters they bring in. And I'm not the person to notice bad CGI because that's what people love to talk about. I didn't notice bad CGI watching Moon Knight. And apparently people were like, whoa, how did you not notice this the entire time? And I didn't until somebody pointed it out for me.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So
that's fair.
It just doesn't quite fit.
I agree. I do think it's like phase one all over again. It is phase one all over again because phase 6 is going to be the end of this whole arc because we're getting Kang as the big guy.
I think phase 6 is just the end.
You think it's
the end? I can't see them going past phase 6.
Well, they got to introduce. I think they're going to go to phase. I think they're going to, if they're going to go any farther, they're going to go to phase 9 and Galactus is going to be the end. They got to introduce Galactus. Galactus.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know
who
Galactus is? Oh, well, have you played Marvel versus he's the main bad guy in Marvel versus Capcom 3.
You think I've played Marvel versus Capcom 3?
I would hope so. Okay. Never mind.
The only Marvel games I've ever played were X-Men on the GameCube 1 and 2.
Did you play X-Men Origins Wolverine? Because that is...
No.
That is an awesome movie timing game. Like, it's better than the movie. It's so good. It's like an apple.
I played X-Men Legends and X-Men Legends 2. Rise of Apocalypse. Those were the only two Marvel games I've ever played.
Oh, did you play Marvel Ultimate Alliance? That one's really fun. Oh my gosh, they're so good.
I genuinely don't play many games. And that's funny.
Okay.
From a guy who used to only play video games, I don't play many games anymore. I haven't played many games for a long time.
That's a good thing. I don't play many new games either. I'm just sticking to old things.
Oh, it's a good thing to not play new games, Michael. Yeah. That's not very open-minded of you.
What? That's not what I meant. Okay. Just play, you know, focusing on life rather than You know what I mean.
I am. What if my life is video games?
Then good for you. If your life is video games and you're making some sort of income from it, then that's fine.
No, I'm not making income. I'm just living with my parents.
No comment.
All right.
But so that, do you think, are you encountering any superhero fatigue with the movies? A little bit for me. I have not caught up on many superhero shows, and I need to. But I'm starting to face it. I'm finding that something like The Boys is like very refreshing in comparison. I still need to watch
The Boys is phenomenal.
The Boys is so good.
But I'm not getting superhero fatigue because I think the superhero fatigue. Everybody has a different reason that they get it. I don't think it's so much superhero stuff that's making it over fatigued for people. It's definitely not the case for me. I think that it's just looked at as if, hey, I've seen this gag before. I've seen this joke before. I feel like what people are really tired of is just the kind of Marvel, formula.
Yeah.
And not saying the Marvel formula is bad because it's worked for a long time, but you have to spice it up and twist it around a little bit occasionally. And Marvel has just stuck to the same formula. If you kind of look at each act of the movie, they all kind of follow the same pacing.
Yeah.
Some pacings are worse than others. Some pacings are much greater than others.
Yeah.
But they all kind of follow the same idea.
Yes. I completely agree.
You'll look at The Boys, the pacing is completely different.
Yes.
People love it. You'll look at Invincible, people love it. It's very different. Even with DC stuff, DC does not make great movies a lot of times. But when they do make good movies, people really like those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't follow a strict formula. Marvel has milked a formula, and they can keep milking it because I'm a dumb fool who's going to keep going insane.
Same. I mean, I feel like for me, I've grown up on Marvel, so I can't help but watch it because I've grown up on it and it has a soft place in my heart. But I'm starting to get tired because I'm getting overwhelmed with the content they're bringing out. Like,
I can absolutely see that. I have not watched Miss Marvel or She-Hulk yet because
She-Hulk hasn't come out. So yes.
Oh, well, I haven't watched Miss Marvel because I feel like there's been too many shows releasing in too short of a span. Mm-hmm. Not to mention that because Disney Plus also holds Star Wars content, we got Obi-Wan, which also just took up a lot of time.
There's Book of just Boba
been a
Fan
lot
too.
Of stuff going on.
I mean, there is a new Marvel thing, but it's like really short. The I Am Groot series is like 5 minutes per episode. It's like four or five episodes, and they're like 5 minutes long, plus credits.
I would not watch that. I just wouldn't. I can't imagine that would be any good. Like,
I've looked at reviews. I heard it's like, okay. I heard it's just cute. Like, that's it.
Yeah, Miss Marvel, that's the only show that I think I haven't watched yet other than I Am Groot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I haven't seen any of the shows since Hawkeye.
I've watched all of them except for Miss Marvel, and I'm super excited for the 18 episode Daredevil Reborn.
Oh,
that is going to be so exciting.
It's also going to be TVMA too.
What?
It's going to be TVMA too.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, since Marvel Zombies comes out before Daredevil, and then they say that's going to be TVMA.
What's Marvel Zombies?
Marvel Zombies. It's like zombies, but Marvel. Like, they're basing it off
it
the comics.
Like, not canon?
No, it's like an alternate universe.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good TV series. A good comic book series, from what I understand.
Is it like the What If episode with zombies? Oh, you haven't watched
No.
What If?
Like, they're actually, like, they can talk. And it's like a disease, but they're zombies. So it's a bit more terrifying.
Okay, then. I guess.
Yeah. So that's going to be TVMA. So I assume Daredevil is also going to be TVMA.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. I need to watch season 3 still. because I hear it's an amazing piece of television.
Oh, I binged watched 1 through 3 at the beginning of summer. It is phenomenal.
Yeah. I think Daredevil is my favorite Marvel hero, honestly.
I think my favorite Marvel hero is probably Gus Fring.
Welcome to Pollos Hermanos.
It's Los Pollos Hermanos.
Los Pollos Hermanos. I love Walter White. He's my favorite Marvel.
Nobody likes Walter White. What do you mean? Nobody likes Walter White. Have you seen the show?
No.
Nobody likes him.
I don't think anybody likes him in the show.
I don't like him as a character. He makes me want to die. No, Gus Fring. Oh.
Gus Fring. Welcome to Los Pollos Hermanos.
Gustavo Fring. We love him. Gustavo Fring.
Oh, okay, so you're not really encountering superhero fatigue, but what do you think the general audience, do you think the general audience is succumbing to it? Or do you think it's
Do
still...
I think the general audience is succumbing to it?
Yes.
Michael, that is a very, very, very vague question, because why does it matter if people are succumbing to fatigue? Just look up how much a movie earns in relation to other movies, because that just solves the problem. If people are still going, obviously they're not fatigued. When the numbers start to drop drastically, then you know fatigue's at play.
Well, I'm just saying, is it like, it's not like a sudden thing. I don't think it's like a sudden thing. Do you think it is starting to happen, or do you think it is not?
I think for some people, yeah. But for most people, no. Because I know many people who started watching Marvel at phase 2. They've never watched phase 1. People just start watching at some point and just keep watching on forward and don't go back to the old stuff. It's the same with bands. You find an album that you love and then you start listening to their new stuff, but you don't listen to their old stuff. I know so many people who found Green Day through their American Idiot album and have listened to every album since then, but have not listened to like anything. They haven't listened to Dookie or Nimrod. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I've noticed that with a lot of people, they don't go back to the older stuff and they look for the newer stuff, since odds are if you like their newest album, you'll probably like their next album.
I mean, I need to look back. Some of my favorite artists, I need to look back at their other albums. I'm not really an album listener. I've only started doing that recently. So, yeah, that's I kind of just like go to Spotify and listen to the artist. Like, this is X artist. That's kind of what I do.
I've been an album listener for a while.
Well, that's good on you. That sounds... I really like listening to albums because sometimes the stories they tell is really interesting. And speaking of that, how do you like listen to music? Because I know that's an odd question, but I like to... listen to music via like the vocals, or like the vocals always come first for me, and then I like.
Okay, music. The way you phrased the question was like, I figured you were asking like, when do I how do, like I don't know, I use Spotify.
No, that's not it. Everybody thinks that first, and I'm like, no.
I listen to music at work every day with my Bluetooth speaker that I bring in, and other people listen to my music too think I'm
you're
weird.
One of those people. You're
yes, like... I am, and I'm proud of it.
I don't
And
like
you know it. What? You know what? I get more people who like my music than not. So that just says one or two things.
You think you've got excellent music taste?
I don't think I've excellent music taste. I think that I listen to something besides 1970s through 1989 rock, and that's why people like it, because the only radio station we get plays only 1970 through 1989 rock. So you listen to the same stuff every day, or you get my Bluetooth speaker.
Fair.
So, yeah.
But how do you listen to it? Like what comes to mind when you listen to it?
I love fast paced beat based music. I love the instrumentals, the composure of everything coming together. I can look past the voice a lot of times, but the voice is the make or break, really. The voice is like, you can craft a perfect Sunday, but the moment that you forget, it's like crafting a perfect sundae in a sugar cone rather than a waffle cone.
Right.
Think of it like that. Like you create this song, and then the only problem is that the singer just can't hit that one high, and yeah, it just kind of falls flat. Because I can think of multiple songs where the song is a genuinely good song if you disregard the singer. Mm-hmm. I care more about the beat, the rhythm, the sound of it, rather than the actual like lyrics or singer. But I can't say I completely ignore the singer.
Would you say that's the same for Bob Dylan, or do you can get past Bob Dylan's voice, like nasally voice, for his like really beautiful lyrics and sometimes very easy to listen to songs?
Who's Bob Dylan?
You don't. I feel like you. I can't tell if you're being serious or not. Do you not know Bob Dylan?
Here, let me just Google Bob Dylan.
You've seen his face, and you probably heard a song he's sung. He's a notable person, whereas like he doesn't have the best voice, but his lyrics are excellent.
Okay, I have no idea who this is.
Wow, you don't know who Bob Dylan is?
Oh, I do know.
Okay, I was like, how do you not know who Bob Dylan is?
He doesn't have a bad voice.
Oh. I thought you'd find his nasally
voice. Oh, wait. No, I'm thinking of the cover by... I was thinking of Knocking on Heaven's Door, the cover by Guns N' Roses. Never mind. Yeah, I don't know this guy.
Oh, okay. He kind of has a nasally voice, and he's, like, singing kind of, like, folk country, folk songs. That's his thing.
I can't say I've ever heard any of his music. I've heard covers of his songs. But
okay, Leonard Cohen is another one who doesn't have the greatest voice, but he has really beautiful songs.
Never heard of that
guy. He's the original writer of Hallelujah.
I have never heard the original.
Have you watched Watchmen?
No.
Did you see the Zack Snyder's Justice League trailer?
No. Funnily enough, I was told about it and was like, I'm not interested in something that's going to be 4.5 hours long.
Well, I was about to say, like, you probably heard the song in that. Dang, okay.
No, I didn't watch it because I was like, I'm not going to watch a 4.5 hour long movie. Why would I watch a trailer for something that long?
It's not that long. Okay, whatever.
Yes, it is. It literally is.
The movie is 4.5 hours. The trailer is not.
Yes, but why would I watch a trailer to something that I wouldn't watch regardless?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just... Okay, Leonard... I don't know. They're... Never mind. I can't think of an example for you since you haven't listened to them.
I don't listen to country, man. And I don't
think it's because... Leonard Cohen's not country! He's pop!
Listen, the reason I don't listen to country... The reason I don't listen to country is just because I like fast-paced music.
Yeah.
And country's not fast-paced.
I mean, country can be fast-paced. Devil Went Down to Georgia. Everybody loves Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Everybody loves it. And I will say that is one that I do like, but most country is very slow paced. Or if it is fast paced,
it's about beer and trucks.
I don't like fiddles. I just don't like the sound of a fiddle, and fiddles are used a lot in country. I just don't think they make good sounds.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Fiddles mess with me. I think Devil Went Down to Georgia is one of the few songs that I can bear with it, but it's not my favorite. Oh, I just really don't like the sound of that instrument.
Mm. Well, there is one album you did come to talk. I didn't listen to it, but why did you?
There were actually two albums. I gave you an ultimatum on which one to choose.
Listen,
and then you chose one that I said no. You're doing the one you don't know.
That is true, but we're just here to talk about one. We're just here about talking about one. Okay.
Maybe next time you'll actually listen to the album.
I will. That'd be nice. I will. Yeah. I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Better.
So. Why did you choose the album for me to listen to as well? And we could talk about why did you choose the Blue album?
Wait.
Sorry.
Hold on.
What, the greatest
Hold
hits.
On.
Greatest hits. Greatest
Hold
hits.
Hold on. I ranked the greatest hits, and you threw me off, bro.
Sorry. I meant the greatest hits. The greatest hits. I thought that was the album. My bad.
Okay. So let me clear up the conception. Michael displayed this very badly. The album is called Greatest Hits by the band Water Parks.
Yes.
Water Parks is a pop punk band that makes pop punk and all sorts of just different music. Hip hop.
Yeah.
They have rap portions. It's
so like Gorillaz.
They're like Gorillaz if Gorillaz were good.
I don't like that.
I'm simply going to say it. I think Gorillaz are...
overrated?
No. They're not overrated. I don't think they have that much clout. No. I think that Gorillaz are just... In my opinion, I just don't care for them. I don't know exactly what it is, but... I feel like their music's just fine. It doesn't scratch the itch that my brain wants. Mm. Other people, it sure does. It's not bad music. It's just not my thing.
That's fair. But why did you choose The Greatest Hits? Why Water Parks? What do you... why?
So the album is not called The Greatest Hits. It's literally just called Greatest Hits.
Oh, sorry. I added the there.
Yeah, there's... I can show this to you, actually. It says Greatest Hits.
Not your screen is blurry.
Well, see it.
I see it.
Okay, cool. I chose Greatest Hits because it's one of the few albums... well, there's two reasons, actually. I love this album. It's one of my favorite albums of all time. It released in 2021, and I have adored it since it released.
Yeah.
And two, I think Water Parks is one of the awesome, awesome bands that is trying to push the genre forward.
Pop punk?
Or just every punk? Genre, actually. Because the thing about Water Parks is they don't conform to just pop punk.
Hmm.
They dabble with things from other just genres. Like, I don't know if you know this, but they are... their label is the 300, which is very, very well known for... only covering not bands but like artists who are more in the hip hop and rap genre, and yeah. They were the first ever pop punk band to ever be labeled by them.
Wow.
So it's interesting because they can join something that's mainly hip hop and rap related but then still keep their guitars. They do a lot of different kind of music. Like Greatest Hits is the best example of their kind of range.
Yeah.
Because it's a very experimental album. It starts with the song Greatest Hits, which is just the title track. And it just is a very short interlude that just starts off the album. It paints a picture. And then you go through the rest of the album. And all these songs don't seem to... they don't necessarily have anything involved with each other, but they're just very different in nature. And then you get all the way to the end, to the real end of the album, which is called Ice Bath.
Yeah.
And Ice Bath is just this song that really wraps up the album. It wraps up everything that the album has wanted to do. And then See You in the Future, which is the last song on the album, really is the send-off to the album. Not many albums, I feel like, have the insight to be... it's self-aware, but it's genuine, if I can describe it. And I really wanted you to hear this album to get your opinions on it, because I'm passionate about the uniqueness of this album. I'm passionate about the sound, obviously. If I didn't like how it sounded, I wouldn't recommend it, but... I'm passionate about so much about it, especially Water Parks as an artist, because there's a song on this album called Low Key as Hell.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a very good song. I think it's a fine song. I don't dislike any song on this album. It's one that I will play and I won't skip, but it is a play off of a song off their last album called Watch What Happens Next. Because it uses the same beat, tempo, and lyric style to, and it uses similar lyrics to convey something that happens, but it just is perfect.
Yeah,
I just like how Water Parks ties everything together perfectly.
Yeah. And is this genuinely like their greatest hits that they've done it before, or is it just like it's named greatest hits and
it's just named greatest hits?
Do you think it lives up to that claim of being the band's greatest hits, or is it just like, oh, we're just gonna be self-aware and like stuff like that?
I think this is the best album they have ever made. I think it is their greatest hits. I think their most popular album, which is called Fandom, which was their previous album to this,
yeah,
is a great album, but it's not their greatest. I think Greatest Hits is a proper name.
And how long has this band been around?
Their first album debuted in 2016, but I think they had an EP in 2015. I can check on that, but I'm fairly certain they've been around since 2015.
Yeah. Why don't you give me your order? And then I'll ask you some questions about each song. So why is whatever song you're going to pick at the bottom?
Okay, so Water Parks goes all the way back to 2012. Yeah, they had an EP in 2012.
You were off in like by 4 years.
Yeah, I don't actually think I've listened to that EP, so that is something I will go listen to. But you wanted my order.
Yes.
I think the worst song on the album is called Greatest Hits.
Oh, so the titular song. I think
their starting song is the worst song on the album.
You think it's a bad way to start the album?
Absolutely not. I think it's a phenomenal way to start an album. I think that every song that you listen to on an album should stand on its own.
Right.
Even an interlude. I think if it's going to take up space on a CD that you're paying for, it should fill it out. I think interludes where people just talk are useless.
Yeah.
I think Greatest Hits is a great start to an album, but it just isn't one that you can listen to on its own. Like, nobody would hand you the aux cord in a car and you would say, yo, I got this. And then you throw on Greatest Hits and then it would just be like a minute and a half of just, it's hard to describe. It's just exposition. It's Rising to the album's first song, which is really fuzzy.
Yeah.
The song's called Fuzzy.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, what's your 11th spot? Second last spot.
My second to last spot is American Graffiti.
Okay.
American Graffiti is it's kind of a generic rock song. Like, it's the only song on the album that I would say there's nothing there that feels new. It just feels like something that you would find on a filler album. And for me, it really does feel like the backtrack to an album. There's nothing that really makes me like it.
Yeah.
It's the only song on the album, unironically, that I have grayed out on Spotify because it's not worth a listen to, in my opinion. It's not bad. It's just, it's not for me.
It's not for you, despite like it being, it sounds like you have a lot more fondness for your last spot rather than this spot. Why is this above it?
So it's, in my opinion, I can't merit the fact that I would much rather listen to Greatest Hits over American Graffiti, but I have to absolutely say that American Graffiti is a better song than Greatest Hits as a standalone. And I like to look at songs as a standalone unless it's a two-parter. So like it's Holiday to Boulevard or Broken Dreams. I would consider those two together.
Yeah.
Greatest Hits is not a song that you can listen to on its own. You have to listen to it in sequential order. And in sequential order, it's phenomenal. But without sequential order, it's not very great. American Graffiti, you don't have to listen to it in any order. You can just pop it on and listen to it. And I think that's what just makes it better.
Okay. What's your next spot?
Crying Over It All.
Why?
So, how do I describe this? Crying Over It All is not by any means a bad song.
Yeah.
It, in fact, I really like this song. I actually really like all the songs in the album, so it's really painful to
rank them.
To rank them, yes.
Hmm.
But it's a very sappy song.
Yeah.
It's nothing that necessarily makes me think that I love this song.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in here that really makes me think, wow, this is something that's going to amp me up, or this is something that I can really vibe with, because I don't relate to this song,
yeah.
Which is why it's so low. I like to relate to music. Even though I'm not really a lyrics guy, I can get the gist of a song by just hearing it.
Yeah.
And this is a sad song that I can't relate to,
mm-hmm.
which is unique, because I found this album while I was going through a breakup,
mm-hmm.
and I just couldn't relate, because it was just, it's a little too overdramatic.
Gotcha. Do you think that overdramaticness messes up with its emotionality?
I think yes. I think it does. I think being overdramatic takes away from the message.
Do you want the song to be just like, let the lyrics do its thing, and like maybe the singer add to it? Is it the singer that makes it overdramatic, or is it the instrumentals? Is it just those two things combined?
So, mind you, I love the sound of this song, but the lyrics with the song, it just feels disingenuous.
Fair.
Whereas the next song up on my list is called Fruit Roll-Ups.
Yeah.
It is a phenomenal song. I love this song. Mm-hmm. And the first time I heard it, I hated it. So my opinion has really changed on this. And with how many times I've listened to it,
it should be higher.
I've grown to really appreciate it, because it's kind of just about having another person in your life. Like, one of the reoccurring lines is, I'm a little bitch for you now. And out of context, it's super funny. But the way it's delivered is very good. I love the instrumentals in it. It's a very slow song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different kind of slow song, because it's not just guitar. It's more than that. It's modern day killer sad boy song. That's what I would say.
Killers? It's like the sad boy?
It's like the Killers if they had a sad boy song.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Why is it called Fruit Roll Up? Is it like dealing with a younger, like a childhood thing? Or is it about somebody who's gay? What is this about?
It's called Fruit Roll-Ups because Austin Knight, the creator of this song in particular, the first line of it is, I got some fruit by the foot if you want to come over. And they thought it would be funny to just name it Fruit Roll-Ups rather than Fruit by the Foot. That's it. That's the sole naming.
Oh, fun. What's the next song you have on your list?
My fifth one up is See You in the Future, the send-off song.
Oh,
I loved this song. This is the song that got me into this album.
Mm-hmm.
And as time has gone on, it has fallen down. It is a great send-off song, but there are problems that I have with it that I just can't get past. So I think the biggest problem with this song is the ending for me.
Yeah.
Because the first two thirds of the song I love. And then the ending is just kind of a drum solo with a lot of noise going on.
Yeah.
And
is it too
it's
much?
Kind of awkward. It's a great send off to the album, but this is the only song by them that makes me cringe when I listen to it in public, because when it starts doing that ending segment, it's like, oh, people are listening to this and thinking, what the hell's going
That's
on?
That's why you get headphones, my guy.
Yeah, no, I'm This is only at work, I should mention. It's not like a blast.
You're not listening to it like by yourself. If you're listening, do you think it works better if it's by yourself?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And mind you, in the right context, if you're sitting in the car with friends, it's phenomenal.
Right.
I love this song. One of my favorite lines is okay, so
yes.
Okay. At one point in the song, they say, "Take a second, gonna breathe, you and me." And then he says, "Otto, Jeff, you guys were doing great. We're gonna do this one more time." And Otto and Jeff are the other two bandmates.
Yeah.
And then he says, "Okay." And then he says, "Fuck everyone and everything in every single magazine that made me think that I'm not enough." And then he keeps going on and just gets really, it really builds up until it comes crashing down with that ending solo.
Nice. Okay.
It's a great, great ending, but it's not something that I can say I love to jam to.
Mm-hmm.
I think every song above the next one of, so the next one I'm going to talk to you about, I still would have it in the, I wouldn't jam to this all the time, but everyone above that I will absolutely play no matter what.
Yeah.
It's so good. We're in the, like, I like the song tier list. Right now we're at the segment where I like the songs, but it's not something that really is there. It's not something that really I'm super passionate about.
This is weird when we're, especially we're going to your top four.
Oh, dude, there's a lot more songs to go through.
Really? You said you fought number five. Okay.
I was saying fifth from the bottom.
Ah.
Fifth from the bottom, my friend. There's a lot more.
This is a short album.
It's a long album, my friend. the next song up is Low Key as Hell.
Yeah.
And I mentioned earlier that this plays off of a song off the last album. That's the sole reason I like this song. It's fine. There's nothing super great about it. It doesn't have that ending segment from the last song that makes me kind of cringe sometimes. And that's the only reason it's higher, because I think it's just as good of a song and there's nothing in particular that makes it stand out more.
Yeah.
Moving on up, my next song in line, mind you, I wish here. There are 17 songs on this album.
Yeah.
There's 17 songs. My 10th song, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exactly know where this place is in number, is The Secret Life of Me.
Yeah.
And The Secret Life of Me is a great song, specifically because I love the use of instrumentals in this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very unique, poppy, you would have to listen to the beginning to understand. But once you hear the beginning, you can get a feel for the direction of it. And it's a cheesy song, but it's such a fun song.
Yeah.
It's just a fun song. It's like, if you've ever listened to the Killers album, Hot Fuzz,
yes,
you've heard the song On Top.
Yeah.
Now, it might not be the greatest song, but it's a fun song.
Sure.
This feels like On Top to me.
Oh, I probably would be, think it's okay then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an okay song. It's nothing insanely great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving up here, every song passes, I adore.
Right.
This top segment was so hard for me to rank.
Fair.
Next in line is Ice Bath, which I consider the true send-off to the album.
Yeah.
Not send-off, but the true ending. So, as I mentioned earlier, the song Greatest Hits is the first song.
Yeah.
And in that song, the only lyrics to it is, "Last night I had the strangest dream of all."
Yeah.
That's all it says. And it plays it to a tune.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Bath starts off the same way. "Last night I had the strangest dream of all." It says it the same amount of times as the beginning song, and then it goes into a full, very amped up song.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fast paced. There's so much going on. There's so many noises, and it all comes crashing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends on "Last night I had the strangest dream of all."
What do you think is the significance of that? Do you think it plays in the themes that the album's trying to portray, or do you think it's a story-based thing? What do you think the reason why?
I think it's more so a message from the creators of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's inherently that they're trying to tell a story. I think I think that they're trying to convey what they went through as people when writing these songs. I think it's more so them expressing themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about it. And mind you, this is just speculation for me. I haven't done super much research, but that's what I really think.
What's your next song?
My next song is very high up for it to be an interlude.
Is it Gladiator? I'm looking at the song
list. Yes, it is Gladiator. Oh man, Gladiator is so good. Gladiator is just a minute 13 of completely different paced hip-hop music, and it's so good. And the lyrics of it is just a guy talking like a normal, like he's high. He's just talking like he just got really high, and he's just talking about gladiators while this really, really nice, fun beat goes on. Uh-huh. Like, let me read you some of the lyrics.
Sure.
And what it comes back to is gladiators. Make them fight to the death, and they would cheer on a gladiator. But the whole time, the gladiator wasn't fighting because he liked fighting. He wasn't fighting because he, of anything else, he was fighting completely for survival. And his whole survival completely relied upon a stadium full of people. That's why the media is like, because they just want to see you and that fucking other guy fight. It's literally fucking gladiators. They love to see. It's like crazy because the whole fucking thing is all built off of a gladiator mentality. And the only way to really participate in the system, the only way is to come out of your human self.
Yeah, he's definitely high.
It definitely sounds high, but when you look into the lyrics, and this is one of the few songs that I love the lyrics because they're not speaking about gladiators. They're speaking about media being like gladiators. It's great.
Yeah.
It's just such a good interlude that is so overlooked. It's better than songs in the album, full songs. And that says so much.
Do you just vibe with it? Is that why?
Yeah, I love it. It's so good.
What's your next song?
My next song up is Just Kidding.
Okay.
It is just a more down to earth hip hop pop song. Mm-hmm. This song, I will say, has more significant meaning for me because this song I got really attached to when going through a breakup.
Yeah.
Let me read off some lyrics, and mind you, it's funny. Let me just read off the first verse. I wish I was dead sometime so I wouldn't have to check my phone. I wish I was dead sometime so I could spend a day alone and not feel like everybody hates me. Making plans on another planet daily lately. I wish I was dead sometimes. Haha, just kidding.
Oh.
Yeah. Another part of the song that really spoke to me was, let me find the start of it. Where is it? 1 second. I am having trouble finding it. Plan A, plan B. I'm numb and I'm still hurting. Mental, physical. I cannot pronounce. Hold on. It's cyclical, but that's what they hand me. Plan C, plan D. You can't kill what you can't see. I'll take on everything that you hand me. But I like your apartment. And I like how your hair smells. It buries all my problems until I forget the details. That's all I can talk about without hurting your feelings. So check out all the love I get. It's fake and doesn't happen at all. Hmm. It doesn't happen at all. I don't know. This one it's a very sad and depressing song, but it's a very nice flow. Yeah. Like I recognize it's a very sad song about a guy who is not in a great mental place. But I also wasn't in a great mental place at the time, and I could really relate to it, except I didn't want to die. So I guess you could say I was just kidding.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What's the next song after that?
The next song up, I would say, is like the closest thing to modern day Beastie Boys. It's called Like It.
Like It. And okay. It's, did you like it?
Oh my God. I guess you could say I like it. but I'd say I love it. It starts with an interview.
Yeah.
I don't know what where it's being interviewed, but it starts with the audio of an interview, and it says, "We're backstage in Lungeons today. Looked who stopped by. It's only water parks. How are you guys?" And then Austin Knight, which is the lead singer, says, "It's me." And then the song starts, and then it's a very angsty, angry song that just gives me a lot of how do I put this?
Catharsis? Beastie Boy vibes. Okay, cool.
And then the song comes to an end, and it's a very upbeat, it's a very punky song.
Yeah.
And I just love the sound of the song. It's repetitive, but because, I mean, the thing that it repeats is because I like it. It's very repetitive, but it's just great. And then it ends on the other half of the interview. And it goes with the person asking him questions. And it says, "We think about the themes of an album. We think about the themes of the tour that's upcoming. We think about new music that might be worked on. What would you say is going to be the next color of your hair?" And then, you know, he laughs because everybody's just laughing because Austin, every time he creates a new album, he changes the color of his hair to fit that album.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're poking fun at him. And then his instant response is, "I'm going to fucking shave my head." And it's just, it starts off funny. It's such a fun, punky song. And I love punk. And this is the only song on the album that I would say is fully punk. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. It's such a different pace from every other song on the album.
So you call Beastie Boys punk?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I would say some Beastie Boys songs are very punk-like.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're fully punk. Don't. I'm not saying Beastie Boys is a punk band. That is not what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. Sure. What is your next pick?
My next one up is called Snow Globe.
How did I guess that? I was like, it's probably going to be Snow Globe. Snow Globe.
It's a very chill song.
I wonder why.
It actually plays off of the first song in the album a little bit, which I really like. But it's a very chill song. It's just serene. It uses a lot of piano.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you're in a winter snowstorm. It's called Snow Globe.
Yeah.
And
is there a blizzard sounds going on, or is it just
no? I wouldn't say that. It doesn't go that far into it.
Okay.
They make mentions of the title track in this song.
Snow Globe, Rosebud.
Let me just read off some lines from this that I think are worth hearing. Let me start off. Good morning. Why'd you wake me when I haven't slept much lately? I was having the same old dream again, the one that finally took my head and win. 'Cause all I hear is I love you so much, but it starts to mean nothing when my heart is shut from you. My heart is shut from you. I wrote down the soundtrack of giving up, and the songs go like this on my greatest hits.
Ah.
And then the next part is 7 p.m. Let it sink in. I've been living dark in the back of the deep end. Now it's 3 a.m. Everybody goes home alone. Shake me up and watch me in my. And then it repeats the same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
And then this time it finishes that sentence and it says, in the daytime, I get to debate myself and quiet all the evil things I say. Like, everybody hates you. People miss the old you. They hate everything that they all changed you into. The second verse goes on with, I've been dead since 2016. So good morning. Can you fix me? My tiny little world is in your hands. So shake it like a snow globe. Fuck my plans. It's just him venting.
Yeah.
And the ending of the song switches from this very serene song to a very depressing, this is the soundtrack to us giving up, living down, getting out, getting us giving up, living down, getting out, getting us giving up, living down, getting out, giving up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of this song's a very depressing song, but it's such a serene song. I keep going back to the word serene because that's what it is. It's a change of pace because most of the songs on this album are very fast paced.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the slow one that I really, really like.
Yeah.
I like that it plays off of what the album has started, and it's not like there's one song and then it forgets about what the song sets up all the way until the end.
Yeah.
I just love Snow Globe.
What's the next song on your pick?
It's Fuzzy.
Ah.
Fuzzy comes directly after, and I mean directly after Greatest Hits. Yeah. And it is such a fast-paced, fun song. It really builds the album. It just gets you. It gets you going. It gets you riled up. It gets you. It's just so fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's. I can't even begin to describe it because the pace is so fast. I as a person cannot sing it. I as a person cannot mimic it.
Yeah.
It's such a well done song. The highs he hits, the instrumentals are phenomenal. The weird sounds, it's all over the place, and it's great for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess the song is Fuzzy for a reason. It can't decide what it wants to be, and it's kind of why it's great.
Well, what's your next pick there, Ben?
Okay. This song would never, not in a million years, have been as high as it is. But I love this song. It has grown so much on me that it's in my top three. My number three placement is Violet.
Wow. Why is it Violet?
It is such a... It's just a nice sounding song. It's a great sounding song. Not even nice. It's a great sounding song with the undertones of being a stalker.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so let me run this back. My favorite song by another band called Bad Flower is Stalker, which is about being an incel. And it's such a funny song, but the song goes so hard. And Violet is like the exact opposite of that, but it goes hard in a different way, and it's also about being a stalker. So let me just read off some of these lyrics.
I'm scared.
You freak me out, so I stay in. Do you see me now? Do you have my pin? Now, I don't know how you'll show up or when, but it freaks me out, so I stay in. You say, boy, I'm not a stalker, but I'm watching you when you're walking. You call all kinds of people who aren't me. You love me in such weird ways, like when you lead me back to your place. You do it without words, but don't you worry, because I heard everything. Now you're looking through the peephole on the door of my apartment. My panic's at the ceiling, but I'm flat down on the carpet. You say, boy, I know you're in there. And the way you tease is unfair. This ain't misery, but I'd break your knees to keep you here with me. And then it says, break your knee. And then it repeats, break your knees to keep you here with me. And then it just continues on. Watching alone on my couch, watching Netflix again. But it's like I'm watching you, but it's about me. And just to be clear, I mean the show. You're Joe, boy, I'm not a stalker, but I watch you when you're walking. And then it just goes on to repeat the same verse, but it's about a stalker.
Well, yeah, I got that part.
Yeah, it's a little bit about a stalker. I think this is the perfect counterpart to Stalker by Bad Flower. Mm-hmm. And I think that for that reason, I love it.
Yeah.
Listening to them back to back, it's a very different energy, very different vibe, but tell the same story in a different context.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the album. You said top three. I feel like there are three songs left. There's Magnetic, there's Numb, and then there's You'd Be Paranoid If Everyone Was Out to Get You. There are like three songs left.
I talked about Paranoid.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just said it was one of those songs that I there's nothing inherently that makes it, you know, phenomenal, but there's nothing inherently that makes it bad.
Okay. Okay.
My next one up is Numb.
Crawling in my skin.
Yeah, it's that Numb. Numb is such a good rock song. It is just the rock song of this album, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. So is it not starts, Numb? Is it not like Numb from Linkin Park?
No, it's punk rock in a sense. yeah. but like mixed with pop punk. That's the best way to describe it. It also makes references to their old albums and songs.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, my favorite punk water park song is referenced in Numb because it acknowledges that it's a play off of their old song, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this song, it says, "How can I be your black hole in your favorite constellation?" Okay, actually, never mind. I'm not going to run through that part. I'm just going to make reference to it. In this song, it says, "Hello to the fandom," which is the name of their previous album.
Yeah.
And then precedingly after this, it says, "Please don't have a tantrum." And Tantrum is the name of a song off their Entertainment album.
Wow.
And Tantrum is their very punky song where they're telling everybody off. It's just, Numb is such a rage filled song. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm. So, but before we get to your number one, which I think I know what it is, do you have anything else to say about Numb? So it's not like Numb by Linkin Park at all.
No. It's weird to say this, but Numb, the reason I like it just as much is not because there's anything about it that inherently, there's nothing in the lyrics that draws me to it. There's nothing that I can necessarily relate to. It's just the sound. The instrumentals are so good. He hits every vocal chord so perfectly. It's just so well done.
Yeah. Okay. And your number one is Magnetic, I'm guessing.
It's the only one left. So
product of elimination, yes.
Yes.
Why is it your number one?
Magnetic is a very, very different song. It's a fast-paced, but it's not rock.
Is it rap?
No. It has it's rock, hip hop, pop punk, all mixed.
Yeah.
And it's not even the lyrics that make this song so good. It's the repetitive song. You can easily sing along to this. God, it's so hard to describe why a song is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you can't listen to it,
yeah,
and you look at the lyrics, it doesn't give off the right energy that makes it so phenomenal.
Yeah.
But Magnetic is a very fast-paced, energetic song, but it's not like a normal punk song. It's a mix. It's something unique. And as you go throughout the song, it keeps building. And then at the end, it slams down to a very bass boosted segment that is completely unlike the rest of the song.
Uh-huh.
And one of the lines that gets repeated throughout the song is, I'm magnetic to the things I hate the most.
Hmm.
It's one of the few repeating lines throughout the song, and that's where the name comes from.
Yeah.
With that line means a lot, because everybody has that thing that they hate about themselves.
Yeah.
Everybody has that thing that they hate so much, but they can't get away from.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a minor inconvenience. Maybe it's some personal thing that they have for themselves, but everybody has something.
Yes.
And this song definitely conveys that.
Hmm.
I highly recommend that you listen to it. And I might not have done a very good job explaining all these songs, especially for somebody who hasn't listened to them.
Do you think this album is an experience and like you just have to listen to it to understand?
I do. But here's the thing about this album. If you don't want to listen to the album, you can just pick or choose songs, because there's only two songs in this album that I would say you couldn't really listen to on their own. And that's Greatest Hits and Ice Bath. And even then, Ice Bath, you could perfectly listen to on its own. It's just you don't have the context of the original Greatest Hits for it. Every other song in this album stand.
I'm probably going to listen to it because of the way you've been describing it. So I'll probably listen to it. Wow, thank you, Ben, for that. I'll be sure to listen to it so I can understand where you're coming from. Thank you for coming on to the podcast. I really appreciate that. All right.
So, yeah. Next week's plans are pretty simple, if I'm going to do one next week, hopefully. It's just going to be by myself. I'm going to figure things out. Life's getting crazy right now. What do you mean life's getting crazy? I'm getting kind of caught up with deadlines, and that's my mistake. I'm focusing on school right now, but right now is just generally going to be by myself. I have a guest in mind. I don't know when they're going to come on. Gonna have to talk to them. Maybe bring on a guest again. New guest. I don't know. Who knows? But right now it's looking to be just by myself and possibly a guest coming on in a little bit. All right. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed, and if you did, be sure to be on the lookout for more episodes in the future. I think we're done here, so please step out of my office.